Good afternoon, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to C&A's fourth quarter of 2020 results conference call. With us here today, we have the company's executive officers. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After C&A's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. This event is also being broadcast live via webcast and may be accessed through C&A's website at ri.cnda.com.br, where the presentation is also available. Participants may view the slides in any order they wish. The replay will be available shortly after the event is concluded. Before proceeding, we would like to inform you that forward-looking statements made during this conference are based on the beliefs and assumptions of C&A's management and on information currently available to the company. These forward-looking statements are not a guarantee of performance. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic conditions, the industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I turn the conference over to Mr. Paulo Correa, CEO, to start his presentation. Mr. Paulo Correa, you may proceed. Good morning, everyone. We are now starting the presentation of our quarter four results and the 2020 results. I would like to start this conversation before going into the specific points about the quarter and the year. I would like to share with you our enthusiasm with what we believe C&A will represent in the near future. We will be a true fashion tech company, a digital fashion company, the one that best understands Brazilian women with physical stores and a lot of emotional connection with our customers. On slide number two, so let's start with slide number two. Here we see that the starting point for building this fashion tech company is the customer. The customer is becoming more and more the center of our decisions, and all our teams in any area of the company is now paying attention to the customer, mapping the impacts to the customer and how they can improve their experience. This change is nor simple nor fast, but we are very committed to really making this model our business management model. We know that the customer's behavior is changing, and this change was also accelerated by the COVID pandemic. Our customers are becoming more and more digital and more casual. And this is the fuel that accelerates our transformation into a fashion tech company. We will need more and more agility in our responses, and therefore our focus now is to deeply understand the different journeys of our customers. And based on that, we need to develop better and better solutions for each of these journeys. We have also adopted a new corporate organization format by introducing tribes and squads, not just in technology, but also in sales, in products, and in other areas of the company, including the corporate areas. We have also intensified the use of tests and MVPs, minimum viable products, in a broader way, which has allowed us to adjust our solutions and products much faster. Another important point is the assertiveness of our decisions, and we are focused on creating a culture with intensive data use for our decision making. And this is in every area. It goes from hiring talents, developing collections, distributing our products, communications, rules, and more recently, this is can even be seen in our pricing strategy in a dynamic way on our website. As I said, with this more digital customer and as a fashion tech company, it will become more and more relevant that we have proposals that can connect and personalize customer experience, offering the products that customers want at that specific time. This will require a much faster development of collection. And in 2020, we consolidated the concept of capsule collections in women's with the lessons learned from our Mindset brand to be able to perform these launches with a shorter lead time and fewer items per collection. We need a new way to interact with our suppliers, a much more integrated way. And finally, to have customers choose us as the most complete self-expression fashion platform, we need to establish partnerships, different partnerships with brands, with service providers, with sellers, with payment methods, thus creating a much broader universe to provide the best experience to our customers. And certainly, the assortment is very important in this broad view of the customer. And this was decisive so that we could set priorities for our omnichannel initiatives and to offer our stock in an integrated way to our customers. We know that we still have a long way to go, but as I said, we are full of energy and we have all the support that we need to get there. One point I would like to highlight is that we are working better and integratedly in this new governance dynamic with our administration board, with our audit board, the digital acceleration board, our people committee. We also have a very well-designed growth plan that guides us. And finally, one thing that I consider even more relevant is that we talk about people. Ever since our IPO, we have been talking about our leadership team. We are bringing on people that can bring the knowledge and experience that we need to deliver and to overcome the different challenges that I just mentioned. Very recently, we had Fernanda Campos joining us. She will be our people and HR leader. And she brings a lot of knowledge and know-how from her different experiences, and the most recent was in Amazon. And to wrap up, I would like to talk about the engagement of the C&A team. We are now working at a very fast pace and for different reasons. Every day, I see a more qualified and passionate team motivated by our growth outlook, challenged by a very difficult focal situation, which sometimes affects us personally, but they just do not give in. Without this pillar, the C&A fashion tech company that we want to build would not be possible. Now, on slide number three, we have some key points for C&A in 2020. We made some relevant advances in digital transformation and in different omnichannel initiatives, and this translated into strong growth in our online sales. Our goods margin management was very efficient, and we applied our expertise and experience in austerity management to our expenses and to preserve our cash. And finally, and most importantly, our commitment to our people, with our associates, with our customers. This year has been very intense and marked by the impact of the COVID pandemic on our business and on our lives. But we believe that now we are a stronger C&A, more united and more prepared to deliver what we need to deliver. And what fills us with pride and satisfaction is that we are recognized by our different stakeholders. as the one of the best companies to work with, or even for the transparency that we were able to achieve in our supply chain. Now, on slide number four, here we see the advances with our growth plan levers. So, after bringing the new stores and renovations to the CVP concept, for example, in the new format lever, in quarter four, we inaugurated six new stores. So we closed the year with 295 stores. The improvements into the CVP concept were frozen. So we didn't complete any renovations in this quarter. We closed the year with 209 stores already in the new CVP model. And we are now testing the mini store concept, in which we will sell specific products, particularly characters and basics, in high traffic locations such as subway stations and bus stations. And this is a very innovative initiative in this segment. Currently, we have three mini stores in São Paulo, and we are very confident about the success of this format. In the supply chain modernization lever, last year we had some important advances in the supply chain modernization lever in the three fronts where it works. First, our reach and distribution. Second, omnichannel operation. And third, technology. The projects that we implemented in quarter four and during the year 2020 led to gains both in terms of reducing the lead time and reducing the costs, and also increasing sales and improving stock efficiency. And our agenda in 2021 regarding this lever will be very intense. In digital transformation, we continue to see some very positive surprises with our advances. Our total gross sales GMV growth, including Galeria C&A, our marketplace, was 278% in quarter four, reaching 206 million. Our app continues to be the main online channel, accounting for about 60% of our sales, and we closed the year at over 3.4 million active users in our app. And do not forget that we started with 500,000 in early 2020. So it's virtually a sevenfold increase. It's fantastic. And our app was the most downloaded in fashion and apparel in 2020, with over 12.4 million installations. And finally, in credit offer increase, another lever, we maintain our intense negotiation agenda with our partner to identify new formats, conditions, and products to allow for us to increase the credit offer to our customer. We understand the relevance of this topic, particularly in the current scenario. And in parallel, digital solutions are being developed to facilitate and improve customer experience, such as the introduction in our application of possibilities for a credit consultation and payment of bills. On slide number five, we have some of the highlights of our digital transformation, which is the lever that was certainly the greatest highlight of 2020. And I would like to emphasize that digital transformation goes beyond omnichannel initiatives or customer interfacing. This transformation is aligned, as I said, with this new mindset, this new culture that will turn this company into a true fashion tech. I will start by addressing the change in the organization of work in our central office. We renovated our offices. We closed our fixed points of work. We adopted remote work definitively in certain days of the week, and the consequence was a reduction of about 20% in the area occupied. So we now have a check-in system that organizes attendance and occupation. We changed to Galleria CEIA. We continue to expand our marketplace, and we closed the year with more than 200 active partners. And today, 3 months later, we're actually close to 300, which means that we're working at a very good pace in this sense. We reinforced in quarter four our hunting and farming teams, and we started using tools to gain productivity in onboarding and interfacing with sellers. We're focusing on developing key categories and strengthening apparel and footwear, and also introducing new categories such as home and decor. In our omnichannel initiatives, such as ship from store, click and collect, WhatsApp sales, and infinite aisle, these modalities are already available in all our stores, and we keep improving these solutions to provide customers with a better experience. In click and collect, for example, we have publicly committed in Big Brother Brazil, the TV show that we are sponsoring, to make our products available in up to 3 hours after the purchase. Another element is Minha Ceia, which is still in a pilot stage, but we believe in the strength of this model with the influence of our digital consultants working in a more regionalized way. To enable all these initiatives and integrations that we want to implement, we are strongly investing to reinforce and modernize our technologies. Our infrastructure is becoming more and more robust, and we are now setting up the tech architecture to support this digital transformation. For example, we are starting to use API managers to monitor and optimize all our integrations. We are using WAF to protect the website and the app. And we are also focusing on the automation of processes to improve the accuracy, to gain efficiency. We already have more than 30 RPAs running in the company. And this is just the beginning. We are very focused on the digital transformation agenda for 2021 and also on the evolution of our tech base. Our relationship program, Seja Você, closed the year 2020 with more than 14 million registered customers. We continue to work on this program as a very important relationship tool to personalize contact with our customers, to personalize messaging using push notifications or WhatsApp sales. And regarding customers, we had a growth in the number of new customers who had never bought with C&A before, an increase of about 140% year over year. And there's much more to come. We implemented a virtual assistant on a website for the Mindset Collection. CAC can now help customers choose items, different looks, similar items, how to wear them. And I can't go without mentioning the hologram presentation that we had in the reality show Big Brother Brazil. The reaction was very positive, and there was a lot of media repercussion. People didn't even believe that was possible. Yes, I know it's a lot of advancements, and we're very proud of seeing our team building the solution. Now, on the next slide number six, it's important to zoom in our supply chain modernization lever, considering the complexity and the high number of projects. In reach and distribution, we evolved in quarter four with the operation of the distribution center in Santa Catarina, and we continue to perform studies for new optimization fronts. With the consolidation of the operation of the first sorter, which was already operating, we had gains in terms of reducing the lead time, reducing costs, improving sales, and improving stock efficiency. This year, we will start up the second sorter in the first half of the year, and we already bought a third sorter to be implemented in the second half of the year. With these three sorters operating by the end of 2021, we will be performing distribution by SKUs. So no longer per package, but per product of most of our stock. So over 1.5 year, we will reach our objective, and by the end of 2021, we will have truly implemented SKU-based distribution for most of our stock. In the omnichannel operation front, we continue to improve our transportation matrix that we revisited in quarter three 2020, and this allowed for important improvements in the level of service to our customers. We tripled the percentage of deliveries in 2 days since the start of the pandemic, and we currently have several marketplaces in which we are already delivering 50% of our orders in 2 days. The implementation of the hub store project for the ship from store modality also evolved, and we closed the year with 14 stores already operating in this format. The impact on the processing capacity of these stores is very relevant, and in some cases, it can reach 1,000 orders per day. And finally, the technology front is composed by different projects. The pilot phase of the RFID implementation was completed in quarter four with the complete assortment in 9 stores and all the stores that have the mindset category. And of course, the pilot included suppliers in the process. So we are now starting the rollout of this format. And finally, in the WMS legacy system replacement project, our warehouse management system for our distribution centers, we are already at an implementation stage, and we will finalize the migration this year. As you could see, we delivered a lot of things in 2020, and the expectations for 2021 are even higher. We know that we will have to make adjustments in our ambitions due to the current challenges and the current public health problem that we have that will certainly bring new challenges to our business. But we have a clearly defined roadmap for each of these levers, and we will be very diligent in our delivery and in the execution of everything that is possible to execute within this context. And now I would like to hand it over to Milton, and he's going to present the results for the quarter and the year. Hello, Paulo. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So let's start with our net revenue on slide number 7. We had a good start for quarter four with a gradual, consistent recovery in our sales in the first 2 months. However, in December, which is actually our most relevant month in terms of sales, the pandemic came back. And of course, this had an impact on customer confidence. There was an increase in the number of COVID cases in different cities. We had new restrictions being imposed, and as a result, the quarter was practically stable year over year. Actually, December was responsible for decreasing the intensity and the volume that we saw increase in the start of the quarter. So this means that we had a stable quarter over last year, with a 0.3% increase year over year, reaching 1.7 billion total net revenue. In goods, apparel was the most impacted by the restrictions, with a 2.4% decrease. Fashiontronics actually had a 13.3% increase, and this includes the good performance that we had in beauty. And by the end of the year, beauty was already present in more than 50 stores and also in our online platform. For the year, the total revenue was 22.7% lower than in 2019, for a total of 4 billion. On slide number 8, we have our our profit and margin. In quarter four, the gross profit that dropped 4.3% was 822 million. The total gross margin of 47.1% was 2.2 percentage points lower, particularly due to the change in our mix with an increase in online and Fashiontronics, and due to the decrease in the Fashiontronics margin. This decrease, this 3-point increase that we see in Fashiontronics, was due to not selling Kindles this year against a stronger sales base last year in this category. For the year, the gross margin for goods had a slight reduction of 1.7 percentage points, and that's due to the austerity in our stock control that was mentioned by Paulo. So it was a total of 45.4%. And the good performance of our margin in such an adverse year for sales was a consequence of the very strict stock management that we implemented. And we closed the year only 18% over the 2019 numbers. And the launch of relevant products sold at full price to our customers, even during the peak of the pandemic. Now we have our operational expenses, our pro forma operational expenses on slide number nine. They added up to 672 million in the quarter, so 11.7% higher year over year. So when we look at our sales expenses, always on a pro forma basis, there was a 10% increase over quarter four last year, particularly due to freight expenses and digital marketing expenses, which were more relevant due to the growth of our online business. I always associate this with good and bad cholesterol. So this is the good cholesterol that we need. The general and administrative pro forma expenses were 15.6% higher due to the increase in contractor services, particularly customer service, which was also a consequence of the growth in our online sales. In 2020, our expenses decreased by 4.1% due to negotiations and the occupancy cost with landlords and the adoption of the employment contract suspension allowed by the provisional measures established by the federal government. So here we also applied the traditional austerity in the control of expenses, which allowed us to reduce our expenses by 4.1% in 2020. On slide number 10, we have the pro forma adjusted EBITDA, which in quarter four was 164.3 million, a 43% decrease. The pro forma adjusted EBITDA margin was 9.4%. In 2020, our adjusted EBITDA was negative by 58.5 million, with a pro forma adjusted EBITDA margin also negative 1.4%. On slide number 11, we see that in quarter four, our pro forma net income was 116.3 million, a 41.9% decrease year over year. And therefore, the pro forma net margin was 6.7%, also a 4.8 point reduction, excluding the non-recurring effect of tax credits regarding the changes in the free tax zone of Manaus. The profit would have been 28.6 million, which means that in 2020, we had a loss of 131 million with a negative margin of 3.2. And finally, on slide number 12, we can see our investments, which is also something that makes us very proud. In quarter four, we saw a strong acceleration in our investments with a more than 110% increase, reaching 179 million, which reflects all the evolutions that Paulo talked about. And the major focus in quarter four was technology. So, in addition to the recurring supporting investments, we also focused on projects in the digital front with the contracting and implementation of different tools, such as, for example, tools to improve the performance and experience of our app. Another vertical that was boosted in this quarter was the supply chain vertical, as Paulo already said. So we are seeing progress in different fronts in this lever. And by the end of 2021, C&A will raise its level of operation. We are very confident in the pillars that we are focusing on with our investments and in the strict control of our expenses that is required by now as we go through these very difficult times. So this is the end of my presentation, and we will now open for questions. Thank you. The floor is now open for questions only for investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star one on your touch phone. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the hashtag key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. If your question is not selected, it will be answered later after this conference call by the RI team of the company. The first question is from Aldrin Mooven from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, thanks very much for the question. So I think the initiatives on digital transformation make a lot of sense. I was hoping if you could help us quantify the investment needed either on the CapEx side or the operating expense side. Any color on that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Andrew, thank you for your question. You actually focus on one of the most important pillars here. In 2021, we intend to intensify, and this will be an important lever of our CapEx. We have not just digital, as you said, but also everything related with supply chain, also our stores. And we have some ambitious plans, and we will be approving in our next assembly. We are very confident that these investments will further accelerate our transformation. Next question is from Daniela, XP Investments. Good morning, Paulo and Milton. Thank you for answering my question. Congratulations on the results. My question is about 2021. Now focusing on your short-term perspectives for the year and more focused on sales. One thing that has been a highlight, as we see it, is your campaign in Big Brother Brazil. There's a lot of social media mentions and even press mentions about your campaign. And you talked about how easy or how this is facilitating the conversion of customers. So how do you see the sales performance trend in this beginning of the year, even with the stricter restrictions from the government? Do you think that this type of action, this type of campaign, will help mitigate this impact in the short term? And also, how do you see your gross margin evolution trends for the year? Because if we look to apparel only, there's some pressure, but actually, it seems like this pressure was controlled if we consider the increase in raw materials costs and the very challenging scenario from the standpoint of demand. So looking forward, how do you see these trends? And I have a third question. It's actually a curiosity that I have. You talked about the mini store format that you inaugurated in high traffic locations. So I'm curious to understand, what is the initial performance of these mini stores? I know this is still incipient, but can you share a little bit of what's happening? Hello, Daniela. Thank you for your question. So let's start with the sales performance. The start of the year has been challenging, both January and February. We saw the same levels that we were seeing in late December. The sales are not so well. Actually, we were working at 60% to 70% of the hours in our stores, of the hours available in our stores. But now, with the new restriction measures, this number dropped to about 35% to 40% of the hours. So we have more than half of our stores closed right now. And we think that we may see even stricter restrictions in the coming weeks. So I must tell you that we have been having some very interesting discussions of scenarios. We try to project for how long this will go on, what will be the impact that we will see on our physical stores in the coming months. And I can tell you that we are looking at different possible scenarios. Our stock management strategy is still very conservative, very diligent, and this allows us to have the right assortment for this moment that we're going through. And the other side of the story is our digital platform, our online platform. Now, with our stores closed, we see growth in our online sales. We're seeing this acceleration as we close more and more stores. And we will continue to see three-digit growth levels in this first half of the year with a very positive outlook ahead of us, not just because we have more and more products and more sellers in our marketplace, but also due to the speed in product development, which is giving us an opportunity to always have up-to-date collections. And when we can connect that with your point about the Big Brother Brazil campaign, we see that we are truly inspiring our customers with the outfits that we show in the TV show. So we are seeing a strong demand for the outfits that are exhibited in the TV show, but this is more focused on our online platform. So this is a roadmap for sales this year. And regarding the margin, you talked about the pressure, right? Yes, there is indeed pressure. The fact that the dollar changed, that the foreign exchange changed so much when we compare quarter one 2020 and quarter one 2021. And this has an impact, not just on imported products, because we have a small share of that, but particularly local products, we are seeing a lot of pressure in this sense. And considering the economic context and the capacity for payments and budgeting, this is very challenged right now. And this brings pressure onto our margin. But we are expecting something similar to what we saw in the past few months. And finally, regarding the mini store format, well, as I said, the mini store is still a pilot project. And of course, now with the new restriction measures, we will see some obstacles. But the performance per square meter has been really interesting in those stores, which really excites us about this format because here in Brazil, we have many possibilities to explore. But I must tell you that we still need to further evaluate and make a few adjustments before we can start to see a true rollout and acceleration of this format. We need to better define the business plan, and we need the situation to be more stable before we start accelerating this format. Okay, thank you very much. The next question is from Gabriel Santander. Hello, good morning. Thank you for answering my question. So this is along the same lines of Dani's question. You talked about the foreign exchange pressure and the price of the dollar. So what do you see from the competition? And now with the closing of your stores, do you think that you will have the same level of pressure that we saw last year in terms of markdowns, and if this will happen with all the players in the industry? And also, can you share more details about Galleria C&A, your marketplace? What was your 3P performance? Thank you. Gabriel, thank you for your question. So let's start with the margin. You talked about the competitive outlook. Well, when we were doing the call for quarter two, there was a similar question. And what I said was that in the end of the day, of course, everything depends on how long this will last. For example, if in April we can resume our activities, of course, not 100%, but at least reopen some of our stores, particularly in São Paulo in the south of the country, that will mean less pressure on our margin, and we will have sufficient time to work on the winter collection, for example. But if this lasts longer, let's say May, June, we will possibly see something similar to what happened last year because the stock volumes versus the time available to sell the more seasonal products will certainly suffer more pressure. So the answer is still very uncertain. I think we have good chances of being able to reopen during April. And that will mean that we will have sufficient time to work on our stocks and we will have less pressure on our margin. And in the case of Galleria, so again, the purpose initially was to expand the assortment and truly learn how these mechanics work, these mechanics of marketplaces. And we saw a lot of progress, not just operationally speaking, by developing solutions that allow us, for example, to upload sellers faster and easier so that we can improve the sales effectiveness of each of our sellers. So this has been a very interesting element. And if we compare this with the sales that we were seeing in the start, now it's practically 10 times more in total volume than when we started the Galleria. But our base was very small at the time. So we have a long way to go. We're very optimistic about the possibilities that we have, not just in terms of increasing our assortment, but truly boosting sales on our website. Thank you. And I have one last question. And this has to do with Andrew's question. He talked about CapEx and OpEx, considering your online investments. Do you have any expectation in terms of when you're going to see some recovery of your EBITDA margin? Or do you think we will expect to see the same levels that we saw in quarter four for the rest of 2021? Gabriel, this is a very interesting question. But as I said, we are going through a moment of high uncertainty. There are many variables involved right now. And whoever bets on a fixed scenario has a great chance of erring. So we're looking at different scenarios, and I don't really feel comfortable answering your question right now, vis-à-vis the level of uncertainty of the current scenario. When we are back here talking about more normal quarters, then I can confidently tell you what are the vectors that will lead to a certain profitability level. But right now, everything is very uncertain. Yes, I understand. Thank you. The next question is from João Soares, Citibank. Good morning. Paulo, the first thing I want to ask about is the opening of your stores. Of course, in 2021, you talked about your CapEx, the opening of new stores. The plan was 20 or 20 something stores. So, what is the strategy for opening new stores today, considering that now we have many new points since the IPO, for example, the mini store format and the omni channel gaining a new level of priority in the company? So, I'd like to understand what is the profile of the store that you plan to open looking forward? And I know that it's very hard to have visibility to that right now, but what can you share anything with us about the new stores that you're planning to inaugurate? And the second question is about your online expenses. You have specific expenses with customer service, shipping. And I can imagine that part of these expenses, for example, customer service, which today is outsourced. So I want to understand, what do you think about the micro controllable factors of these expenses? So the opening of new stores and the expenses with customer service. Thank you for your question. In respect to the expansion, we continue to see expansion as a vital element of our strategy. Because after all, despite the acceleration during the pandemic, we still estimate that 90% of the sales in the Brazilian market are in physical stores or face to face. And also, this brings us the possibility of being closer to our customers and having a better delivery time, even for online sales through the ship from store or the click and collect modalities. So these two dimensions give us a lot of clarity about the opportunity that we still have to maintain a strong rhythm of opening of new stores in the coming years. One element that perhaps requires some adaptation is, for example, the hub stores. So if you have logistic operations in the store, today we have more logistics going on in the stores than in the past. Today we have stores that have the capacity to act as a distributor. And this is being fully incorporated into our store model. And another important element is that our store portfolio has a strong presence in some regions of the country, but we know that we have many opportunities in other less explored regions to intensify our presence in these regions. So the topic expansion is very important. It continues to be very strong in our agenda. But considering the COVID pandemic, for example, we were about to open a new store in March. But now the city is closed, so we had to postpone. We have other stores that are now under construction, and we had to postpone. So it's very hard to say right now. Our initial target continues to be 20 stores. This is still the target. But of course, that the rhythm of the pandemic is what will define what will be the actual number of stores that we will be able to execute in 2021. But thinking in the mid and long term, what was established in the IPO business plan continues to be valid and continues to be in our mind. Now, your other point about online expenses. It's interesting to think that despite all the confidence and the optimism that we had with our online structure, we had never anticipated how much it would grow 4 or 5 times during 2020. So this obliged us to set up different structures and to do that very fast. So what we saw in the second half of last year was a reorganization of the fast setup that we needed to implement in the first quarter, in the first half of the year. So we saw changes in our suppliers and logistic partners. We organized our customer service in a more hybrid way. Actually, it's not all third party. Most of our customer service is our own services. It's just part of it that is outsourced. And also our shipping policies and so on and so forth. We had to revisit everything. So the expenses that we have for online, we are trying to bring them to a higher and higher level of rationality. And I think that we're going to see that much clearer this year in our numbers. Thank you, Paulo, for your answer. The next question is from Felipe Casemiro, HSBC. Good morning. I have a question about your online strategy. We saw many initiatives, partnerships with other companies. So, do you think, are you expecting more organic growth or growth through partnerships, for example, with the sellers in your marketplace? So, what is the strategy for online growth? Thank you. Felipe, I couldn't hear you very well, but I think you asked about our strategy through partnerships versus organic growth, right? Yes, can you hear me better now? Yes, much better. Yes, it's exactly that. So, what are you thinking in terms of online growth? Does it make more sense to do it organically or through partnerships? I mean, more strategic mid to long-term partnerships. Thank you, Felipe, for your question. What is driving us is the relationship dimension, so the understanding of our customer journey, the understanding of the needs and interests of our customers. And based on that, we will match what can we do fast and efficiently versus what we will need to form partnerships with to execute. So our core continues to be everything related with the expression, the self-expression through fashion. For example, when we establish a partnership such as the one we have with Enjoei, we are interested in creating the opportunities for this dimension of product reuse and this more sustainable view of our business, which is a flag that we have been raising for many years now. We want to implement it faster. That's why we established this partnership with Enjoei. So we don't have this dogma that we follow that everything has to be done internally. No, we want to do things fast for our customers. So our commitment is to our customers. It has to be fast and good and relevant for our customers. And if later this will become something internal or we will continue with the external partnership, we don't have any dogmas in this sense. We just want to find the way to best service our customers. And regarding logistics, this will mean higher shipping costs, for example. So maybe, do you think it would make sense to think of a partnership with a marketplace to help with this logistics, with the costs of logistics, or would that be more complicated? Well, I don't know if I understand. You're talking about helping our sellers in the distribution dimension, or you're talking about CNA being part of other marketplaces? No, I'm talking about CNA being part of other marketplaces to help with logistics costs. Well, we're always considering this possibility. We are always considering these options, but so far we have not really found a format and a model that makes sense to us. So I not in the short term. That's my answer to you. Not in the very short term. Okay, thank you, Paulo. The next question is from Richard Bradesco. Good morning. I have two questions here. The first is about your app. You said in your presentation that you reached 12.4 million installations, 12.4 million downloads this year. So what is the level of data analysis that you're performing? For example, are you reaching the point where you'll be able to have personalized offers to the users? So what are you doing with all the data that comes from 12.4 million downloads? And the second question, you talked about the intense negotiations with Bradesco in your presentation. I want to know if we can expect any conclusion of these negotiations, maybe in a 2 month or 3 month period. Hello, Richard. Good morning. Regarding the app, we base our decisions on two indicators, acquisition and retention. And in acquisition, we saw this very high level of download. We reached 12.4 million downloads throughout last year. And in retention, which is the monthly average users, we went from 500,000 to 3.4 million during 2020. So we're looking at these two dimensions, and this personalization that you mentioned, we can already see that in some dimensions, such as our push notifications. So based on our customer's profile and preferences, we are more and more segmenting our notification rules to provide them with more personalized stories and offers. So this is one of the things that we're doing to improve retention. But we have many plans in this sense, a lot of things underway. I don't want to talk about them today because they're not ready, but things that will make our app more relevant and interesting, not just to attract new users, but also to retain the ones that we already have. For example, the people who are watching Big Brother Brazil, so practically all campaigns will show a QR code on the screen to download the app, and you can activate promotions and through the app. So these are some of the ways that we found to bring new customers into our app user base. And regarding your second question about Bradesco, well, we are negotiating, we are intensely discussing. The level of intensity is very high right now, and we're trying to find alternatives. There's a contract, there are expectations from both sides. So we're trying to advance. It's very difficult to talk about this subject right now or to give you a timeline. But of course, we would like to have an answer as soon as possible, considering the current context. Thank you. Thank you for your answers. This closed the question and answer session. Now I would like to invite Mr. Paulo Correa to proceed with his closing remarks. First of all, thank you all for listening to us. Of course, that we are regretting the current moment and what is happening to our country, to the population, to businesses in general. But also, from a different perspective, as C&A, we are trying to make the most of this moment to invest more and more and profoundly transform our company aiming to truly becoming one of the best companies in our segment in Brazil. We're very confident and we are working hard to be able to come out stronger when this ends. We will certainly be one of the leading characters in the post-COVID era. We are working for that. We are seeing the first results already, and we believe that this will be even more intensified in the coming quarters. Please stay safe, and we'll see you next time. This conference call is now closed. Thank you very much for participating and have a great day.